they're stuck in the door.
Mike, is your
mic? Oh, they're mine.
I'll take another upgrade.
So let's go ahead and call the July 10th meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order, and we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll call Gina.
Mayor Pruitt?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw? Councilmember Bond?
Here.
Councilmember Todd?
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari?
Here.
Councilmember Mead?
Here.
Councilmember Steckler?
I haven't heard from Councilmember Steckler, but let's go ahead and Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw said he would be on vacation this week, so we have a motion to excuse Councilmember Holtzclaw.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously, and we'll hope that Mr. Steckler. Okay, so next up is audience communication, and we have three people signed up, and first is Ed McNichol.
Hey, Mayor, council members, nice to see you again, city staff. My name is Ed McNichol. I reside at 14222 29th Avenue Southeast in Mill Creek, Washington, in the lovely Highland Trails neighborhood, and I come to you tonight as the representative of the 126 homeowners in that neighborhood. This is one of the duties I have as president of the Homeowners Association. Since we started the closure of 35th Avenue, the traffic through our neighborhood, as you might imagine, is horrendous. Many of our residents who live on that main cut through cannot get out of their driveways in the morning nor into them in the evenings. We've met with city staff in anticipation of this project. We really appreciated their thoughtfulness and attitude. However, since this has begun, we've contacted them very frequently, and we've seen no actions that have had any noticeable effect on the traffic. More disconcerting is that city seems to have no data by which to quantify this traffic. I would love to come to you tonight and tell you it's 12% worse, or 348% worse, or XML. In talking to city staff who are working on this project on the engineering side, including staff members who live within our own neighborhood, I hear things like, yes, we know it's bad, we know it's a lot worse. I wish I could tell you how much worse, and I would have expected that the city would have data to drive some decisions. All of the actions taken to date have been behavioral. We've tried to increase law enforcement presence, thanks to our wonderful police department. We've tried putting up speed limit signs. But people aren't breaking the law by ignoring a local-only sign, and this is a public right-of-way. And I see no resolution, and the residents of our neighborhood, who I represent here tonight, are not willing to wait 6 months for this to be resolved, nor 6 weeks, nor 6 days. We want immediate action by the city to stop the flow of traffic through our neighborhood. When I've come to you about this issue in the past, when we had to close 35th, the city was very accommodating and rerouted detours, alleviating the problem through our neighborhood. We want creative, concrete solutions, up to and including a short-term emergency closure of 140th or 30th through our neighborhood. We know this will be a burden on our residents, and we gladly accept this burden for the relief it will provide. We ask you to direct the city manager to urgently work with engineering staff and the construction company to stop this massive increase in traffic, arterial traffic, through a residential neighborhood. Thank you for your time.
Yes, Mayor, I'll work with staff and identify some potential solutions and report back to council.
Next up, Mary Kay Voss, welcome. 3 minutes, please. Name and address.
Good evening, Council. I'm Mary Kay Voss. I'm at 15226 12th Drive Southeast. Open Public Meetings Act. Once again, or actually once more than once, you as a council seem to be violating the laws and principles of the state. When and where did you discuss what to do in the city manager's absence? You know, back in April when she became ill and it was apparent that she was going to be out for more than a couple days, someone must have said at some point, should we appoint an acting city manager? And someone else should have said, yeah, let's do that. Or, no, we don't need to do that. But it wasn't in this chamber. So where and when did that discussion take place? Where and when did you decide to allow the mayor to assume the role of administrator and be the only person from the city to interact with the city manager? I ask because I've read all the minutes from every meeting since April, and they were never discussed. So again, where and when were these discussed and decided? Then there was that special meeting on Friday night, June 8th. Interestingly, the mayor was actually overheard talking at the farmer's market, describing that what was going to happen that night at the meeting was, we'll open the meeting, we'll take roll, and then Brian will give the statement, and it will be approved by the council. And then we'll close. She said she didn't know what was in the statement, but she was sure the council was going to approve it. The notice said that it was to counter something that the Beacon had printed, which, by the way, did turn out to be true. How was that possible? Who had she talked with? When and how did you decide you needed to issue a statement? Why was there no discussion regarding the ways, the whys and wherefores of issuing this statement? Why didn't anybody ask any questions? Why did everyone seem to know that that's what you were going to do, is to walk in and say yes and walk out again? You might note Seattle is going through a similar issue. A violation of the Open Public Meetings Act occurs whenever there is a meeting that is not public, which includes phone calls, emails, serial phone calls from one person to another, even if there are not seven people there and if there's not four people there. It's the serialness of those. Executive sessions are limited to matters having to do with the performance of a public employee. That means the city manager. So if this council met in an exec session to discuss any of those topics I just mentioned, it is inappropriate for an executive session. And since it's not public, it is also a violation of the Open Public Meetings Act. You could certainly discuss the city manager's job performance and whistleblowers. That's appropriate exec session. However, once that discussion was over and you moved on to what shall we do now to keep our city running, then that should have been in an open session right here in this chamber. The fine for a violation of an Open Public Meetings Act is $500 for the first offense and $1,000 for every offense thereafter per person paid personally with no limit. I am doubly concerned that you might say, oh, we never discussed any of that. The mayor just started doing it. Well, then there must have been some point, oh, I don't know, maybe June 19th when I spoke to you and brought this to your attention. Or maybe perhaps one of those people you consult with who has told you that you must deal with this. When was that? Because it did not occur in this chamber. If you have ever had a serial or an exec session with or without the mayor about her overreach of authority, where and when was that meeting? Because it has never been discussed in this council chamber. And I just can't believe that there's only two of you that actually feel that way and everybody else just does bobblehead. If not here, then where and when are these meetings occurring? Because we would really like to know.
Hi, thank you. Name and address.
William McKibben, 14233 30th Avenue Southeast, also Highland Trails neighborhood. I'd like to reiterate everything that Ed previously said, our first speaker. In addition to, there's one comment that I'd like to add. At the intersection of 144th, 143rd, and 30th Avenue, there's a crosswalk there, and as cars come around the turn heading from 30th Avenue or 35th Avenue, they tend to pick up a little speed heading toward the intersection. There's a lot of kids who play in the area, so I request some sort of traffic calming devices in that at that intersection prior to the little crosswalk there. So that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any
Anybody else want to talk to the council tonight? Going once? Go, sir, right there. Name, address, and 3 minutes.
Paul Horopoulos, I'm in Copper Tree. You want the full address? You want me to spell my name too? HAIROPOULOS, 15800 Village Green Drive, Unit 17. Well, I was a little late, maybe this was discussed. I've sent an email to the administrative assistant of the city manager requesting two items. One was the sprinkler system at Heron Park was coming on at 5:30 p.m. instead of a.m. That has been fixed. So thank you. The second request had to do with 164, which I think was paved a couple years ago. Super smooth. It's torn up. Whatever the patch was is bumpier than the orange iron plates or steel plates that are in place. There are vaults in the road that are substantially below the road surface, making it a very bumpy ride heading into the Mill Creek area. So hopefully that I'm speaking to the right people. Disappointed I didn't get a response, and I hope there's some action to correct 164th Street. Thank you.
Yes.
That, we'll move on with the rest of our agenda, starting with new business 2018 landscape maintenance contract award. Bob?
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. This is a contract that's set to expire on July 31st of this year, and so your action this evening will be very timely on this matter. The 2018 landscape maintenance services agreement is for a one-year period and can be extended for two additional years. And to provide you a little more information and some detail on this, I'll ask Tom Rogers to provide a staff report.
Thank you, mayors, members of the city council. It's a pleasure being before you again tonight. What we're asking you to do tonight is to authorize the city manager to approve a contract with Plantscapes. It's about $140,000 annually. As far as background, last year the city entered into a contract with a company called Evergreen, and this was a new contractor for us, and their bid was quite a bit lower than the others in the competitive process. A couple months ago, Evergreen notified the city that they did not want to renew their contract. Apparently they underbid it, and the quality of the work was not what the city was expecting, and so they decided not. The other contract was structured similarly where we could do the automatic renewals. But they told us that they would not. So the city advertised in the Herald in June. We also posted in the Builders Exchange. We did receive only one bid, and the bid was from the person or the company that did the contract for us from 2011 to 2017. The services that are requested are to maintain 10 parks, City Hall North and South, the library, the road medians, and ponds and swales. That includes the blowing of the hardscapes and whatnot. There's a lot of information in the contract itself that goes into some detail about what's expected of their services. Let's see here. The $140,000 a year is about $47,000 more than what we were paying last year for the contract in 2017. The scope of the work that probably increases it the most is about $25,000 of that is three parks have been added that weren't being done. They were being done by city staff last year, but they were added as Exploration Park, Silver Creek Crest Park, and Cougar Park. Another median is being added. There's also a couple, the ditch in front of Fire District 76 along Bothell River Highway. Pond 6 is going to be mowed twice a month instead of one times a month. And the reason that these were added were that staff basically is having a hard time keeping up with what's been going on. The level of service is not what the citizens, we get complaints about it. And that's pretty much it. So that's what was put out in the bid, and the call for the bid included those extra projects. Plantscape did have the contract with the city, again, since 2011. We found the work satisfactory. We checked the references, and they came back acceptable as well. And we also did an interview with the one firm, and they're confident they can do the work. We're confident they can do the work. And so with that, what we'd like to do is to, our recommendation is that you authorize the city manager to sign the contract. The contract does expire with Evergreen at the end of this month. And so August 1st would be the date that the contract would start. And that's the presentation.
Out of curiosity, would it be cheaper or just more cost effective to hire two or three full-time FTEs to do nothing but year-round?
It's interesting that you asked that question. In preparing for tonight's presentation, a lot of work was done in 2017 prior to going out to bids. Before we did that, the city manager had requested that staff prepare an analysis of what would it take to do the work in-house instead of hiring a consultant. And what was found was that we would need five additional full-time employees for seasonally between March and November, and we would have to buy some equipment. So the labor cost is $174,000 a year to hire in-house people for that period of time. We would also have to buy $211,000 of equipment, and then there's some of the fertilizing and other things for the first year would be almost $500,000, $405,000. We had made this move away from in-house to contracting out some time ago, and so as a result, we haven't bought the equipment. It's sort of a minimal approach, so it would take a big scaling up of the city's resources. So we still think it's a good deal. I mean, the city's getting a bargain as far as what it would take to do the work ourselves. And so anyway, thank you for asking that question.
I was just curious. Thank you for that analysis. That's spot on, and at least puts it in perspective for me. Anyway. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I apologize. I didn't ask you ahead of time. Maybe you know this. If you look at Plantscapes 2014, 15, 16, 17, they were doing the work for us. That was probably going up by their inflationary cost per year on our previous contract. They didn't win last time because these other guys got low bid. But is Plantscapes kind of on that same range of price or same curve, or are they jumping it up? And you said there's some different things. We've added some parks now, so there is a step for that. But I'm just curious. We're kind of between a rock and a hard place in the middle of the season. I suspect we only got one bid because we're right in the middle, and these guys have got their work lined up for them for this year. So I'm wondering, does it make sense to do a short-term contract, or are we just stuck with this price and the inflationary things built in from here on out?
I think you're setting me up with all these, because I just happened to look.
I'm glad you got all the data right there. Good for you.
In 2017, we had four bids. There was one that was a real outlier at $262,000, and so that one wasn't seriously considered. Plantscapes came in at $101,500. So it's pretty close. We've added three parks and a couple swales, and then there's inflation and some other minor things. But I think we're in the ballpark. I think they're a good quality firm. We have a good experience with them, a good working relationship, and we can terminate the contract per the provisions if it's not working out. So our recommendation is to go forward with it as written.
Yeah, I think at this point it sounds like that's what we need to do. I just wondering if for 2019, 20, 21, if we need to kind of take another bite at this when we're bidding it at the right time of year. And I'd look at finance staff and city manager to help us out with that kind of thing. But I think for right now this makes sense. And the fact that we've dealt with them before, they know their way around the city. You won't have to train them, because they know where all the parks are. They've been here before. This is probably a good solution.
And they didn't blow grass on our cars either.
Anybody else have any questions?
Beth, they're asking for a motion to authorize the interim city manager to execute a contract with Plantscapes for the 2018 landscape maintenance services contract in the amount not to exceed $138,937.30.
So moved.
Second. Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And next up is an ordinance adopting a complete streets policy for the city of Mill Creek and adding a new Mill Creek Municipal Code Chapter 12.20. Bob?
Thank you, Mayor. And the Complete Streets Act was created by the legislature in 2011 and then subsequently funded in 2015 via funds from the Transportation Improvement Board. And the proposed ordinance would simply adopt a complete streets program for the city of Mill Creek, and it would follow much the same practices that you currently use today in terms of constructing complete streets of not only vehicle uses but also pedestrian uses and bicyclists, et cetera. And so I'd ask Tom Rogers once again to come up and provide a little more detail and information regarding the proposed ordinance.
Bob.
And there's if you in the last 6 months.
Oh.
And there's 2 weeks, there's another meeting. So actually, it's very nice to be up here. What's in front of you is an ordinance, as Bob said, to adopt a complete streets policy. As you're aware, the city residents and the council and staff, we're very familiar with the concept of complete streets. It's where streets aren't built just for automobiles, but they're for people, transit, and bicycles. They involve features such as wide sidewalks, street furniture, speed things to keep speed down, bulbs that come out so that it's quicker to cross the street, sidewalks on both sides of the street in residential neighborhoods. So the city of Mill Creek we were actually in front of this in Snohomish County, I think. In 1992, we were putting sidewalks on both sides of the streets when a lot of people weren't. And in Town Center and East Gateway, obviously, is certainly great examples of that. As Bob also said, there was an act that was passed that encourages or rewards cities that pursue these kind of policies and use this sort of complete street ethic. And it's not something that you have to actually propose a project to do it. It's almost a reward. If you have this policy in place and you can demonstrate that you've done this, it's something that is given by the Transportation Improvement Board. That's very flexible. The city can then, once we get this award, we have to work with them and have our work program approved, but we have a lot of flexibility in how we would spend that money and come up with creative ways to make our streets even better. As a little bit of detail about the grant, smaller cities usually get a $250,000 award. If you're a larger, bigger player, it would be $500,000. We've been doing it a long time. I don't know exactly where we would fall within there, but my guess is probably the 250, but we could maybe $500,000. It is administered by TIV. We have a representative that sits on the board now, Councilmember Todd. We met with their Greg Armstrong, who is one of their senior personnel there, and talked about the program at length, and we talked about the ordinance that's in front of you tonight. Once it's on the books, the ordinance is there, we are eligible to seek nominations from various organizations. There's a list of organizations in the agenda summary as well as in the attachment. I think there's 9 of them, from Department of Transportation, Department of Health, and it goes to Cascade Bicycle Club, Feet First. And once the city adopts that ordinance, we can start courting them and telling them our story and trying to get them to give us a nomination. The smaller organizations have 4 nominations they can make, and then the larger ones, the state can give 8. Now, it seems like you have more, you should spend your time there, but a lot more people are asking the state for those. So we're going to try to do a good job of trying to get a nomination from somebody. So anyways, the ordinance is fairly boilerplate. We've looked up a lot of the jurisdictions that have done this. They're all very similar. We've customized it to meet the city's particular circumstances. And so our recommendation is that you adopt the ordinance that would create a section of the code of the Mill Creek Municipal Code. It doesn't require you to do anything that we don't already do. It gives you a lot of exceptions if something is not practical. It doesn't make you do them. And it gives us the ability to go out and ask for resources to make the city a better place. There are a couple typos that Councilmember Todd, I think, pointed out to staff right before the meeting, but they're very minor. We'll fix those. Those are typos. So our recommendation is that you approve the ordinance tonight and set us staff out to try to get some more resources.
Thank you.
Real quick, Mayor. I certainly do appreciate this, that you guys are thinking outside the box with finding new funding resources for what seem to be drying up all over the place. So good job. Have my support. It's not doing anything that we're not already doing, so.
This isn't the dais. Thank you. I'll make a comment that the total amount they have each year by the legislature is about $7 million. And so for this next call, they've taken the $7 million from this biennium and the next two bienniums, so it's $21 million total. They're hoping to be able to award all of that. And the sense was they might not be able to get all of that awarded. So I think there's still an opportunity. A couple of years ago, there weren't very many people who had complete street ordinances. Now there's more because people are kind of waking up to this. They also changed it so it's $100,000 on the bottom to $1 million on the top, because there were some small cities that said we don't know what to do with, some small towns couldn't figure out what to do with $250,000, so they kind of moved it down, but they've also moved it up. So there's substantial money out there, and there's probably a pretty good chance, but Tom pointed out it's a kind of a weird deal where you have to get somebody else to nominate you. So it's a competitive in that they have to like your story. So I think the story we've got of how we've had complete streets, and it's up to staff to figure out how to angle this, because you guys have to do the legwork. But the fact that bus rapid transit is coming to town, and maybe pedestrian connections to bus rapid transit so people aren't parking funny places or walking funny places might make a unique story that would give us a shot to get these nominations. So it's an interesting program. Once you get the money, then the money is ours. We've got 3 years to spend it, and staff will then take project ideas. We want to do this, we want to do that. You go and get TIB to say, yes, that fits in with the parameters of the program, but they don't look at every little detail of your project, and your project is not competing with other projects. You're competing as a city and this complete streets attitude and ordinance. So it's kind of an interesting program. It's a good way to go.
I don't know if you know the answer, Councilmember Todd, but you gave a number of $7 million. So if it has $7 million, if it's not all given out, does it carry over to the next year? Like next year would be 14.
Yeah, they would carry it over to the next call. Yeah. So this call is going to be in July, and it's going to be open till like December. So between July and December, staff gets to go and try to see if they get a nomination, and then in December, the board would like to, their staff will look at it and like early next year, they'd like to award all 21 and just be done with it, not have to mess with all this, because they've got five other programs they administer. So they're trying to get it done all at once. But if they don't get it done, the money would roll over, and they'd have a call next year again, too.
Good deal. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so staff is looking for a motion to adopt Ordinance 2018-831, adopting a complete streets policy and amending the Mill Creek Municipal Code to add a new chapter 12.20.
So moved.
Second. I have a motion and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, next up is the consent agenda. We have two items. Item D, approval of checks number 58726 through 58858 and ACH wire transfers in the amount of $1,678,483.01. Audit Committee, Council Members Bond and Cavallari. Any exceptions?
No exceptions.
No exceptions.
And we have payroll and benefit
ACH payments in the
amount
of $295,520.87.
Any exceptions?
No exceptions.
So we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved. Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Up to reports. I hope everybody can go to the festival. I think it's this coming weekend. So, and we're getting more produce at the farmer's market. I know, because I'm buying it. My favorite meat people were missing last week. But anyway, it's a really good project, and it's really good to have us support it. So with that,
thank you, Mayor. I don't have a report. I reside in Highland Trails. Everything you heard tonight is legit. The traffic is very bad during peak hours. A creative solution would be great. I don't know what it is. Mr. McNichol suggested a emergency shutdown of the road. I assume that would push people on to 148th and through Village Green Drive. Still not ideal, but it might be better than what we're dealing with, which is completely residential, whereas that is a little bit better. So if that is an option that could be considered, I would be in favor of you reporting back as to what our options are there. It really is a problem during the peak hours especially. And I'm off the main loop, but even when I come down to try and go left or if you, depending on what time of day it is, it's very difficult. So there was no exaggeration there by the folks that took the time to share. I support everything they said. Thank you.
I'd like to just echo, Mayor, what you were saying about Mill Creek Festival coming up this weekend. I belong to another association that we were going to purchase a sponsorship and have a booth, and we were told that the festival is 100% sold out, not an ounce of space left. So it's growing, gone. That's a really nice showing. So it should be a very impressive festival this year.
I threatened and I did it. The AWC conference, I put it, it's in your packet there. I'm going to walk you through a couple of these things. This was a really good conference. They're all good conferences, but looking back on a lot of this, I thought was really germane, at least exciting to me. And so I've given you some notes there. I hope you'll look at them. And up at the top, there's the link if you want to go see the slide decks for these things. But I want to comment about a couple of these things. The first one was called Making Your Town More Idea-Friendly. And it was a three-hour seminar. But one of the things I thought was great that she talked about, the old way we did things was to form committees, like park boards. And the new way is start with a project and ask people if they would like to participate. And instead of asking people to come join a committee, ask them to come work on a project. She said that's kind of the new model, and it's working a lot better. If you've got a project, people are participating. They're active. If you are giving them a presentation, you know, there is a park board is going to do this, then it's more your people are observing and are more passive about it. So I thought that was kind of interesting. They talked about thinking about events not as a goal for the project itself, but as a way to get people involved and build connections. And that was kind of a theme. I don't think it was a theme to the conference, but it rattled through quite a few of the sessions I went to. The next one was called Rethinking the Customer Experience for Cities and Towns. Comcast, believe it or not, was on there. I thought, okay, Comcast, customer experience, what's this going to be about? And they talked about when they sent out these surveys that we all hate, people who respond to the survey, they then call those folks back and have a conversation with them. And it's their leadership team. It's not just survey takers. And I thought that was really interesting because then they said they're talking about getting the customer's voice right in their ear, and it's not just collecting statistics on customer satisfaction stuff. Thought that was interesting. Renton and Auburn also made presentations. Renton talked about emergency preparedness. In the old days, they would have put together a meeting and invited folks to have 30 people show up. They put together a YouTube video. Staff did it. Very minimal budget. Very minimal use of language. It was all visual stuff. 11,000 views of their YouTube video. Probably people outside of Auburn, outside of Renton, too, but it was just interesting. They trained their police department to do Facebook, and the police department's Facebook page is more popular than the city's Facebook page. Their bike patrol officers, they blog about every encounter they've got, and they found that people are just really getting connected and think the community's safer and all those things. And they said all this comes about by leadership had to give the training on what was good and bad and what was allowable, what wasn't. Then they gave trust to the employees. They gave them empowerment to do it and then turned the employees loose to do the good work. So it was exciting to hear about that. So I may want to reach out to those cities and talk to them. Another session was about innovative ways to connect with the community. Kind of a same theme. Olympia wanted to get engagement on the budget process. They sent out a survey. 225 people responded to the survey. That's pretty good. But then they specifically sent invitations back out. Mr. Bond, we see you respond to our survey. Thank you. Would you like to come to a meeting hosted by the City Council about the budget? They got 72 people to show up that way. Phenomenal response compared to the kind of things we've got. Just put that thing in there about, we talked last week about the fish culverts. Was a session I went to. Role of the elected official in human resources and labor matters. They talked about council's role is to manage the city manager, adopt personnel policies, and set the compensation and benefits philosophy. The guy talked about personnel policies, and he said if your personnel policies have not been updated in the last 24 months, they are old and need updating. And something just happened the last couple of weeks, he said you need to update for that too. So I was like, ooh. So that was a reminder. Now we've been talking about this. They suggest you do this as an annual thing. You should look at your personnel policies once a year and make sure they're up to date. I think we've got more than a year's worth of catching up to do. Somebody else talked about strategic planning. The whole title of his thing was it's a process, not an event. It's strategic planning, the decision-making tool. And you talked about recognizing that it isn't the cost, the hard cost of doing projects or things that you identify during strategic planning. It's looking at your staff capacity. You often forget that there's only so much time for staff to do these things. And so when you set your priorities, look at that as well. In the private sector, you typically look at all the costs for doing a project, but government, I think we forget a lot of times. There's only so much staff resource. Next one, now there's tree roots and sidewalks, friends at last. It was given by a guy from, there's like a two-person board at the state that's all about trees, and he recognized and complimented Sherry for the work she'd done on our street trees project. He knew of her, and they'd conversed before, but he was making the point that trees are part of our infrastructure. We normally think about infrastructure as just the stuff we build, the roads, the sidewalks, the bridges, the things like that, but trees are part of our infrastructure, too, and so he proposed that we should look at those as part of the assets we manage and figure out how we deal with that. And he said DuPont was able to use some of their stormwater funds for fixing some of their sidewalk issues because they said, geez, the trees and the planting strips and all of the things around them were part of the stormwater system, and so they had a clever way to get some more funding that they didn't think they had in the first place. Another great session, a cohesive leadership team essential to municipal government health. She had a good list there. There's a bunch of bullets. That first group, characteristics of a healthy organization. The second group was importance of communications to build trust. And the two paragraphs down from that talked about how critical to communicate well and often when an organization undergoing lots of change, the pressures you see for various things. This kind of hit close to home. And the last one there, health of an organization depends on the alignment and attention to four things, management, operations, strategy, and culture of the organization. And her recommendation was to invest in all four aspects of an organization so they can prosper. And her comment was, culture is not a quick fix. It takes time, but it's really essential to make sure the culture matches other pieces. And the last one was from Woodinville. They talked about a project they did, and it kind of circled back to that engagement thing. They wanted to put some murals. If you've been to Woodinville, railroad trestle that when you come into town had these ugly old dark concrete walls, and they put murals in there. And they had a contest for a guy to essentially create a paint-by-numbers mural, and they had the community come out and do paint-by-numbers. They had like 170 people involved in painting those mural things. And the civic pride and the engagement that happened through that was really neat. They made a video of it, and it was kind of a cool project. But I thought there's some neat things there. I haven't heard back, but they've got what they call an Arts Alliance in Woodinville that's kind of parallel to, but a little bit different from our AMD board. I think I'd like to introduce those two groups together. I think there's some good cross-fertilization of some of the cool things we do here in town with what Woodinville does and some of the cool ideas that Woodinville had. I'm passing them back. So anyway, encourage you to read through that and take a look at that. I think some good things. One other thing, they have heard back from the soccer organization, soccer community, their big thanks to the staff for shifting the project a little bit so it didn't wipe out their fall season, and they really appreciate that because it's going to help them out. A lot of kids are going to benefit from getting one more last season out of that turf instead of being in the mud somewhere. So thanks.
Just a note about the planning calendar. August 12th is a very tentative date on the schedule. The time sensitivity issue is the 35th Avenue reconstruction project. So later on this week, we'll be determining if that's truly necessary for you to hold a meeting in August, but we'll report back to you as soon as possible. And also a note that in your mailbox today, you'll have received the first quarter financial report. On the 24th, you're going to be receiving a presentation as well as the second quarter financial report, but we're also very interested to learn more about how we can make that report more user or reader friendly. And so if you have suggestions about the format going forward, we appreciate hearing those ideas. And again, but we'll be presenting that to you on the 24th.
I had a comment or question, or it's a comment about the planning agenda for next, the 24th. I'm glad we're going to spend time talking about the budget cycle, and that's the most important thing to me. I shouldn't prejudge, but the Tourism Bureau presentation, I would like it if they had a specified time limit of 15 minutes or so. Good, thank you. They have a tendency to talk about all the wonderful things, but it's 45 minutes later, it's more than I wanted to hear. So if they would tailor it to what's relevant and important to us, that'd be great. So, perfect. You are a champ. Thank you.
um, Okay, last chance for audience communication, going once, twice. Okay, with concurrence of the council, we are adjourned. Thank you very much. Betty, go home, spend time with your family.